vegetables, I'm gonna chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
This is Passionate Nutrition Radio, and I'm your host, Jennifer Adler. I've been a nutritionist for more than a decade and am the founder of Passionate Nutrition, a nutrition practice with 6 locations throughout the greater Puget Sound area. Since beginning my practice, I've helped clients lower their cholesterol, combat depression, treat cancer, reverse diabetes, lose weight, and completely transform their lives with nutrition. Food is medicine, and on Passionate Nutrition, I'll answer your nutritional questions and talk about what foods promote wellness and vitality. This is a call-in show, so please feel free to reach out to us at any time throughout the show. We welcome any and all questions and stories you'd like to share. We'd love to hear from you. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. Thank you so much for joining me today. So it's officially that time of year when many of us are dedicated to making big, lasting changes. It's a brand new year, and we want to be at our best. This is the perfect time of year to talk about how to create new habits. I like to tell clients that instead of making resolutions to try to create new habits. For example, if weight loss is your goal, what habits can you adopt that you can really see and feel results from? Because the statistics that are out there aren't great. You know, more than 90% of people who lose a lot of weight end up gaining it back. And weight loss in and of itself is a way that we're putting our body into a circumstance that it'll resist. And we'll talk more about that later. But in today's show, we're focusing on new habits for the new year. And I've invited Mark, one of my clients who successfully transformed his weight in the past couple of years. Mark, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Jennifer.
Great. Well, I invited you on today because I think that your story and your experience can be really inspiring to other people. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your health and your weight struggles over the years?
At my heaviest, I was weighing about 255, and I had just gone in for a routine physical with my doctor, and he told me that all my numbers were on the high side, and I was putting myself at risk for heart disease, diabetes, things like that, and it really kind of clicked in my head that I needed to get off the couch and do something about it.
And what have been some of your biggest struggles with weight or some of the big concerns that you had? It sounds like your health was a big one.
Yeah, I did have high cholesterol. It was hovering around 300. I was on the high, my sugar was on the high side, not in the diabetic range, but just kind of teetering on that, and that's what really hit me, was like that, you know, you said you're going to be diabetic in the next 5 years if you don't do something. And that's what kind of snapped in my head that I needed to do something. So when you hear diabetes, that kind of wakes you up.
Yeah, it's true. And had you tried to make changes in the past?
I had just tried simply by exercising to lose weight and didn't have much luck with it, not realizing that diet was maybe, 75-80% of successful weight loss, and thinking that exercise was the only answer, being naive about it, really.
Yeah, and so when did you decide to come to Passionate Nutrition?
I think it was like August of 2010 or thereabouts. I think that's when I really started getting into it.
And so your heaviest weight, I'm sorry, can you say what it was again?
Like August of 2010.
And then at that point, do you remember what your heaviest weight was?
Yeah, it was 255.
Okay, and then where is your weight now?
At last check, I'm at 195.
Okay. Great. And so as far as your weight loss, has it been really up and down, or has it been more of a slow, gradual decrease?
It was a slow, gradual thing. It took a little less than 2 years to get to that point. I've been hovering around the 195 weight since July. Mm-hmm. My ideal weight is probably 190, and I was down around that point in October, but then the holidays, of course, hit, and, you know, no one can resist all the perks that come with holidays, free food, free alcohol, things like that. So naturally, I'm still a little bit weighed back on, but I'm confident that I can get back to that 190 point that I was at.
You know, and I'm so glad that you did enjoy the holidays. I know we talked about that yesterday, but it's just, you know, enjoying the holidays is part of being human and connecting with other people. So I'm really glad that you were able to enjoy. And really, the amount of weight that you gained is pretty typical, and it is something that can get turned around.
Right.
Yeah. So when did you really start to feel and see results with your weight loss?
Before I came to you, I had gone down about 30 pounds just with exercise, and then I kind of plateaued. Mm-hmm. I was down to like 220, and then just, you know, I was still doing just the exercise thing, didn't really make any changes in my diet, and I wasn't losing any more weight. And it was still about 30 to 40 pounds off of where I wanted to be, so it was kind of getting frustrating. But I had noticed, you know, the first 30 pounds, I had to buy new clothes. And then after I had come to see you, I had lost, you know, about 30 more just by, you know, continuing to exercise and making the changes in my diet. So I had to buy new clothes twice. So I did frequent the Goodwill quite a bit around those times. So
that's smart.
Because I knew I wanted to continue to lose. So that's why I didn't buy brand new stuff. So, and after I made the changes, I guess last spring, we tweaked my regimen again, and I lost the rest of the weight that way. So, and still continuing to exercise. So that's also important. Got to do that.
Yeah, that's great. And I love that you went to the Goodwill, too. I know that, actually, we've run into each other at the Goodwill before, but it's such a...
Yeah, we have. Got me on one of my two visits there, yeah.
It's great that... you know, there's such wonderful clothes, so it's nice for that transition period.
Right.
And what would
I hadn't reached my goal yet, so I still wanted to, keep losing. So I, didn't want to waste money by buying new clothes that I wasn't going to fit in a little while. So it made the most sense.
Right. And what would you say is different about how you eat now compared to how you used to eat?
I thought, you know, as most people probably do, that cutting fat from your diet was the first step and a step in losing weight when it's really not. It's cutting carbs. So I didn't eliminate them completely since your body and brain need a few. But I've turned to a more high protein, high fat diet. And not only did it improve with me physically, it improved my mental state too. It's good for, especially in this area of the country where it's gray 9 months out of the year, it's good for SAD and for depression and things like that.
And so what kind of changes have you noticed with your mood, with the changes you've made in your diet?
Well, between that and splitting the meals up, instead of having three meals a day and eating 7 to 8 times a day, just having smaller portion size, I found that, like, I don't go into that food coma that, like, if you have a big meal, you just want to take a nap afterward. I don't really have that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go into that food coma, it can last you the rest of the day. If you have had a big lunch at work or something like that, it's just not beneficial. So I found that just eating the smaller portion size really helped and sped up my metabolism. So I would say that was the other big change besides the types of food I was eating is changing the frequency of when I was eating.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up about metabolism. I know that's one of the things that, you know, clients are often surprised by. And I know you and I working together that we've really seen is that your metabolism kept picking up and where we need to increase food. And it's kind of amazing because especially this time of year, we get bombarded with this idea that the way to lose weight is to eat less and exercise more. And actually, we kept finding that we needed to increase to keep your metabolism boosted, and then you would lose weight.
Right.
And that's so counter to what people tend to think. And I know everybody has
this
a different...
This was all new to me. Like, this is the opposite of what I had heard just growing up. Like, even as a teenager, you know, they told you to reduce your calories down, no matter what kind of calories they were. It could be, you know, calories from carbs. It's like there is a difference between good calories and bad calories. So that was huge.
Yeah, it's true. And it seems like for your body, it's worked really well. And for the listeners out there, I just want to say everybody has a different way in which weight loss is successful. So for Mark, you know, for him, eating, having a higher protein, higher fat diet has been really successful, but that's going to be very individual. So since we're talking with Mark today, that's been a successful approach for him. So what types of foods, Mark, do you eat now that you would have never touched or even known about a few years ago?
Well, when you brought up heavy cream and suggested that I use it and everything, that kind of threw me for a loop because, like, who thinks to do that? So that was an interesting one. And salami. I was like, you're telling me to eat salami as part of weight loss. Interesting. I'll do that, though. And seaweed was the other interesting one. I didn't know the benefits of seaweed. Like, I always just considered it a vessel for sushi, so I never knew there was so many nutritional benefits to seaweed. And avocados, like, everyone just thinks of it as dipping their tortilla chips in, when, in fact, you know, it's a great source of fiber and potassium and omega-3s, and, you know, it's just, you know, it is truly a superfood.
Yeah, it's true. And I'm glad that you're including those foods. And I remember actually when I first brought up seaweed, it's your face.
I was a tad skeptical on that one, but I do eat a package every day now, and I really enjoy it. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And you know what I love is that you were game to try these things. You know, I mean, it's especially the approach we took. It's a leap of faith. You know, it sounds so crazy and so different from what we think about. So the fact that you were open to trying it was really a testament to you.
Well, you also get to a point where you've tried things on your own and they're not working, and you want to find something that will work. And you are, at least with me, I was willing to try anything to get the rest of the weight off. Cause it was a really big point of frustration for me. And it's especially harder as you get older. Not to say that I'm, you know, collecting Social Security or anything, but, like, once you get out of your 20s, it just makes life harder, or makes it harder to lose weight when you don't naturally have that metabolism going, and you have to kind of give it a kickstart.
Right, it's true. Well, it's time for us to take a quick break, and stay with us, and when we return, we'll hear about more from Mark and find out exactly how he was able to lose that weight and keep it off. And please remember that this is a call-in show. So if you have questions for Mark, if you have questions for myself, our call-in number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll be right back.
Passionate Nutrition offers a whole food and whole person approach to your health and wellness. Whether you're struggling with extra weight, low energy, or just want to feel your absolute best, Jennifer Adler and her Passionate Nutrition team are trained to help you every step of the way, from cooking to nutrition counseling. Located in 6 locations throughout the greater Seattle area, Passionate Nutrition has an office that's close to you. Visit PassionateNutrition.com to learn more about the nutrition services they provide, or give them a call at 206-595-0376.
Every generation needs a voice, and on Mondays at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150, Lewis Howard's show, Head of the House, is the voice for the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Head of the House brings education, insight, and information that brings health and healing to the challenges of managing your home, relationships, and your career. Tune in once, and you will be hooked. That's Head of the House every Monday at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations, both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Mark, one of Passionate Nutrition's clients for the past 2 years. And so we've been talking about the weight loss that Mark has experienced, which has been around 60 pounds. And so thinking about, you know, long-term stability, Mark, do you eat out? I mean, are you still able to be social and connect with other people?
Yeah, absolutely. I just use your blueprint Monday through Friday, maybe one day on the weekend. But, you know, you get cravings from time to time for, you know, things you haven't had in a while. Like this past weekend, I really wanted pancakes, and I hadn't had pancakes in months. So I went and got pancakes, and they were like the best pancakes I've ever had in my life because I hadn't had them in like a year. So, you know, you can't deprive yourself of the things you enjoy. You have to still experience those things once in a while and, you know, keep it like a once in a while thing. But, you know, for the most part, I've stuck to the plan, and it's important to deviate from it once in a while just to keep your sanity.
I agree. And I love that you were really craving pancakes and you had them, and then you said they were the best pancakes that you've ever had. I mean, that's perfect.
It could have been the worst. They could have been Aunt Jemima, you know, microwavable pancakes, and they probably would have been awesome. But, I went to a place that's, you know, known for their pancakes because I really wanted them. So.
Mm-hmm. And then did you enjoy them? I mean, did you slow down and really savor them? Perfect.
Oh, yeah. I split them up over 2 days, too. I was like, I'm not going to, you know, not going to stuff these down my throat. I'm going to really enjoy them.
Yeah, I love it. It's perfect. And so that's one of the things that I know I'm talking with clients so often about. It's not about deprivation. It's not about getting rigid and completely excluding foods from our diet. It's more just about being thoughtful. And if there's a particular food that we want to have, it's more about getting that food, having the absolute best quality of whatever it is, and then slowing down and really enjoying it. That's a way that we set ourselves up for success. You know, if we start to deprive ourselves, you know, if we say, okay, I'm really craving pancakes, but I'm not going to have them, then what we do is we just think about pancakes, 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 pancakes. And we keep, it's like we're white knuckling it. And we say, you know, that we're not going to have them. But eventually, I mean, we're human. And so what happens is we break down, we have the pancakes, but it turns into the Last Supper, you know, and we eat a ton of pancakes. We're beating ourselves up the whole time. We swear we're never going to do it again. And the cycle continues, as opposed to enjoying those foods and just eating them consciously. So I'm really glad that you do still eat out and that you're social. And it sounds like over the holidays, too, that...
Yeah, I will, you know, maybe a little more than I should have. But, you know, people throw free stuff in front of you, especially when people come and say, you got to try this. And what are you going to say? No.
Right.
Especially when it's free. So, you know, I knew going into Thanksgiving and through New Year's that it was going to be challenging. And I knew I'd probably put a couple back on, which I did. But it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I thought it would be, you know, a case of I can't fit into the pants I just bought kind of thing. And it wasn't like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, as long as you... I guess maintaining during that time period is probably the easiest word to use for that situation. But kind of just stay on, even, you know, staying on the path on the weekend as opposed to, you know, eating out on the weekend, because most of the parties that you go to and stuff like that are during the week. So if you deviate during the week, kind of make up for it on the weekend by sticking to your original plan as opposed to going out on the weekend like you normally would have.
Mm-hmm. And can we go through a typical day of what you would eat? And I just want to mention for clients, I mean, once again, this plan is very specific for Mark. Everybody's body is different. But just to give a general idea, I'm guessing that listeners are curious after hearing your story. So Like, do you remember yesterday what you ate?
Yeah, absolutely. I eat the same thing every weekday, except, you know, with the exception of lunch. For breakfast, I have half an avocado, one hard-boiled egg, and a bowl of Cheerios with whole milk, not heavy cream. When I get to work, I have another hard-boiled egg and a Greek yogurt. And keep in mind, I'm separating this over the course of 2 to 3 hours between each feeding, we'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I'll have my third hard-boiled egg with a package of seaweed and beef jerky. Then I'll have lunch, which is usually just a protein and a veggie with maybe a sprinkling of a carb, like some little bit of white rice and maybe like a little potatoes, but trying to eat the protein and veggie first and then supplementing with the carb until I get satisfied and then just basically getting rid of the rest. And after lunch, I'll have just a piece of cheese wrapped around some salami. And a couple hours later, I'll do the same thing with some ham and some cheddar cheese. And then dinner is usually just a salad with chicken, blue cheese dressing, cucumber, and the other half of the avocado, and some bell peppers. So that's pretty much my day normally during the week.
Okay, and what color are bell peppers?
Red, orange, and yellow.
Okay. I love that you're getting that in there, those colors.
Yeah.
I know one of the things that we've talked about, just for the listeners, is getting a lot of brightly colored vegetables. You know, that's where the bell peppers come in. You know, Mark has things like spinach on his salad, the seaweed, you know, so that he's getting a lot of vegetables that have vitamins and minerals in there as well. So, and does this, eating this way, does it keep you satisfied throughout the day?
Yeah, it does. You know, there are certain points in the morning where I'm a little hungrier than the rest of the day, but nothing like where I'm ravenous or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like one of the things we've done is also really increased what you're eating in the morning. I mean, the goal is that you're not getting hungry, you know, or that, I mean, that you're getting hungry, but that you eat when you're hungry.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as I get hungry. I mean, I try to stick to the 2 hour thing, mm-hmm. to the 3 hour thing, but if I get hungry, I'm going to eat. Like, I'll keep a bag of sunflower seeds at my desk in case I have to munch on something before my next meal.
That's perfect. And just for our listeners out there, what Mark's referring to when he's saying the 2 to 3 hours is that in order to help keep your metabolism really strong, and once again, everybody's different, but in general, our metabolism is like a wood stove. So you have the stove, and the goal is that you put wood on really regularly throughout the day to keep it burning really hot. That's the way our metabolism tends to work. So meaning, you know, it's not about eating one large meal and then going hours without eating. It's about that frequency. You know, to get our metabolism really strong, it's about eating about every 2 to 3 hours. And one of the things that you can really notice, and I know that Mark has seen, is that actually by increasing what you're eating, a lot of times metabolism picks up and we end up being more hungry. So that's what we were talking about earlier about needing to add more food. Now, other indicators that metabolism is picking up is also changes in temperature. Like sometimes people will have cold hands, cold feet. They might be tired at different points throughout the day. When our metabolism is picked up, our body temperature gets warmer. So our hands and feet get warmer. We're typically more hungry and also have more energy. And that's one of the things that sometimes people get confused by because they say, wait, if I have breakfast in the morning, you know, I'm trying to lose weight, but if I have breakfast, I'm more hungry. You know, I'm just as hungry by the time lunch comes as if I didn't have breakfast. And so oftentimes that can be confusing. But the thing is, you really want to have breakfast because we've gone all night long without eating. You know, our body's been in healing and repairing mode as we've been sleeping. We wake up and our body expects food. If we don't eat at that point, then our body gets this warning that something's wrong, you know, whether it's a famine or it's a food shortage. And so by not getting hungry in the morning, it's actually a really bad sign. It's a sign that our metabolism is slowing down. So that's why breakfast, you know, we hear about that from our mother and grandmother. I mean, there really is a lot of wisdom with breakfast being the most important meal of the day. And Mark, I would guess as people look at what you eat throughout the day, and, you know, the people that have known you, like your friends or your coworkers, I'm guessing that their jaw really drops when they see the types of foods that you're eating and you're losing weight. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. They were shocked. They're shocked when I tell them what I eat every day. They are like, how do you go without bread? How do you go without pasta? It was after a couple of weeks that, you know, I didn't really even think about it.
Yeah, and it seems like you've also had some positive results, for example, with, like, your cholesterol numbers have really gone down, which would be surprising for most people.
Yeah, it's gone down. I was, like I said, mentioned as close to 300 when I was at my heaviest, and I'm in the healthy range now, below 200. So that's really helped with that, too, surprisingly. But considering, you know, you hear all this stuff about eggs when you're growing up, too, like eggs are good, eggs are bad, eggs are good, eggs are bad, and go back and forth, and I come to realize that they're good. Eating three a day, I thought my cholesterol was going to go back over 200, and it's just gone down. So I think it depends on what kind of cholesterol you're having. Like, there is good and bad cholesterol, from what I've come to learn anyway. I was shocked when I saw those numbers.
Right, and it's one of those things that, you know, at Passionate Nutrition, we tend to promote eating foods that our grandmother or our great-grandmother would have eaten, or foods that have been around for more than 100 years. Because what people were eating, say, 100 years ago, people have been eating throughout history. You know, it's really just in the last 60 years that our food supply has changed so dramatically. So even though it goes against so much of what we tend to hear now is, you know, eating eggs, even things like heavy whipping cream, which I know probably many of you listening are still in shock by, and we'll talk more about this idea of higher fat in a little bit. But it's having foods that are much closer to nature, foods that don't have an ingredient list, or it's a very simple list of ingredients. And it seems like that gets away from the additives, the preservatives, a lot of the chemicals, and it's more what our body has been designed to consume. So it can be surprising, but it can also be a really nice choice. So it's time for us to take another quick break, but stay tuned. When we return, we'll share some valuable tips on small changes that you can make that can transform how you look and feel. And once again, please feel free to call in with any questions throughout our show. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll be right back.
Passionate Nutrition offers a whole food and whole person approach to your health and wellness. Whether you're struggling with extra weight, low energy, or just want to feel your absolute best, Jennifer Adler and her Passionate Nutrition team are trained to help you every step of the way, from cooking to nutrition counseling. Located in 6 locations throughout the greater Seattle area, Passionate Nutrition has an office that's close to you. Visit PassionateNutrition.com to learn more about the nutrition services they provide, or give them a call at 206-595-0376.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Are you eco-conscious? What about being humane-conscious, too? Choosing to live humanely includes buying cruelty-free products, learning where our food comes from, and how animals are treated. On Living Humane, we explore how our choices for humane living are ever-expanding. Join us next week when we'll speak with David Lee, president and co-founder of the Field Roast Grain Meat Company right here in Seattle, and Amanda Strombaum of the Vegetarians of Washington, right here on Living Humane on Alternative Talk 1150.
Want to hear something different from talk radio? The choice is clear. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and nutritionist for more than a decade. Today, I'm here with Mark, one of Passionate Nutrition's clients for the past 2 years, and he's lost more than 60 pounds and successfully kept it off. So thank you again, Mark, for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And, you know, before the break, we were discussing having foods that are closer to nature, things that our grandmother would have eaten. And do you find that you've made changes in the types of things that you're buying?
Yeah, I try to go as natural as I can. Like, I've, you know, started doing the whole thing of reading labels and things like that. And I do eat chicken every day, and I normally will buy chicken that doesn't have any hormones in it, injected into it, or antibiotics, things like that. Even the salami I eat, I make sure it doesn't have any nitrates in it. And I only eat grass-fed beef. So trying to stay away. If the rule of thumb is, like, I've heard a few people say, like, if you can't pronounce it, don't eat it. Mm-hmm. It's a good rule of thumb. So that has been big for me as well. Like, simply eating salami, you know, is not great. You know, you have to find the right salami. You have to find the right chicken, the right beef, the right eggs, things like that. So reading labels is really important, too.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I bet that really narrows down your choices at the grocery store.
It does. You're forced to go to, like, the specialty stores and things like that. You can't just go to, I don't want to, you know, throw any stores under the bus, but you can't go to any old supermarket. You have to really look at, like, the specialty food stores and things like that.
And, you know, I'm so glad that you brought up about grass-fed beef, because that's something that we haven't talked about, and I think the listeners would be interested. So, actually, I taught food science for quite a few years, and one of the things that was really fascinating to me is that you could have two packages, both of which are labeled beef, and they have a completely different nutrition profile. So, for example, grass-fed beef, the fat content is actually closer to boneless, skinless chicken breast. It's actually very low in fat, and the types of fats that are in there tend to be a lot more of those omega-3 fatty acids. That's what we tend to hear about, for example, that salmon is high in. And in fact, grass-fed beef, the omega-3 content tends to be close to that of salmon. So the average American, I believe, eats 56.6 pounds of beef a year. And there have been studies that if all people did was switch to grass-fed beef, that could equate to about 6 pounds of weight loss a year, just because of the difference in fat content. So a lot of times we hear so many studies about the dangers of red meat consumption. And I know what we end up talking about with clients a lot is that the quality of the meat is really important. And there's been a lot of research about that in terms of, you know, what people eat around the globe and how red meat, when it's grass-fed beef, there's actually a lot of benefits that can come from that. So I'm glad that you are looking at labels and noticing a difference that way. And so what are other changes that you've made in the last few years that you feel like have been really effective, Mark?
I haven't really changed much. Like, from the get-go, it was just, you know, you gave me a path and I stayed on it for the most part, and it's worked out. So I figured, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I've just kind of stayed the course for the most part over the last 2 years.
Okay. And have there been any other surprises? I know we've talked about you brought up about the heavy cream or the salami. Any other surprises? I mean, maybe not. I'm just curious.
No. Everything else was pretty much, you know, I figured the stuff I needed to do, but, you know, it was still really surprising to hear that those foods that actually aid in weight loss for me. It was, you know, I was overjoyed that I got to eat them too. It was, you know, but I had to cut them out, and it was like, no, you should be eating those. I'm like, no, cool.
Right. And so one of the things that Mark has really done is he's had a strong focus on protein. And I know some of you listening might be surprised by that, because one of the things that we often hear is that most Americans overconsume protein. And I know I lived in Nebraska for 2 years, and when I was in Nebraska and I saw the amount of protein people ate, it was really pretty high. I think if I was a nutritionist there, I would have starved. But one of the things that I tend to find, and that's generalizing, of course, but one of the things I tend to find working in the Pacific Northwest, where we tend to have a very progressive, kind of more thoughtful with food population, and of course, again, I'm generalizing, is that clients that come in a lot of times are under-consuming protein. Because I think we get this idea that so many people have too much. So it's really trying to find that balance. Because our body is primarily water, but beyond water, we're really kind of a big glob of protein. So for muscle to be created, for healing and repairing, you know, for so many reactions in the body, we have to have adequate protein or else it's not going to work. Like, for example, we could work out 4 hours a day every day. Not that I would ever recommend that, but just as an example. And if we don't have enough protein, you know, we're not going to build muscle. So it really is a foundational building block. It's important for our immune system. And another big thing for those of you that are making New Year's resolutions for weight loss is that when we're not getting enough protein, we will crave sugar. So they go hand in hand. And we see that all the time with clients that come in. They have really strong sugar cravings and they're just not getting enough protein throughout the day. And it's not about having a bunch of protein at once. It's like what Mark was talking about. You know, he has protein regularly throughout the day, and that helps to keep our energy level more stable, and that also really helps with the sugar cravings. So if you think about building every meal around a healthy protein, that could help with energy throughout the day, help reduce sugar cravings, and then also, you know, help give our body what it needs to build muscle and to heal and repair. Because what so many people are doing right now this time of year is the gyms are packed. You know, people are really exercising, which is great. A lot of times they're doing too much too fast, but they're exercising and they're really reducing their calories. So what this does is it slows down our metabolism because our body senses fear. You know, it says, wait a minute, you know, exercise can be stressful on the body and then there isn't enough food coming in. So it's kind of a double whammy. And what people can actually do, which is crazy, and we see this all the time, is that clients can come in and their percentage of body fat actually goes up when they're exercising more, but that can be because they're not eating enough. You know, they're not eating enough throughout the day, and so their metabolism is going into fear mode. They're holding on to fat and breaking down muscle because muscle is born metabolically active. So if we think about just survival, you know, our body wants to hold on to fat and get rid of muscle when it's afraid. So it's really about balance. And I know actually there's a client that I've been working with that actually took a year off. There was a pretty big medical event that had happened and they were dedicating the year to really getting their health back on track, you know, in terms of exercise, diet. So this person was working with a trainer, which was great, but their diet wasn't matching what they were doing. And even though this person was at a healthy weight, when they came in and we tested them on the bioelectrical impedance machine that we use, you know, to look at their cellular health, their inflammation, muscle mass, hydration, percentage of body fat, actually their body fat had really gone up because they weren't eating enough. So it's really about finding that balance. This time of year, there's that tendency to try to really cut back and be hungry. Hunger is our metabolism's worst enemy. You know, if we're hungry, you really need to eat. You know, I know at my house, I'll even keep food by the bed on the nightstand because maybe my day's gotten busy. I haven't eaten enough. I know I'm not going to sleep well if I don't eat. So I have emergency rations, I think, tucked all around my house, in my car, my bag, everywhere. And actually, Mark, we've used the bioelectrical impedance machine a lot. Did you find that helpful?
I found that extremely helpful, especially when you get to the part of what my percentage of body fat was and what it is now. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing all the other numbers. I'm like, okay, that's cool, but what about my body fat? So I've actually gotten that down to 15%. I think when we started, I was about 25. Mm-hmm. And to follow up on your point about the muscle thing, like I've been working out pretty consistently for over 2 years, and until I made the switch to the higher protein, I wasn't putting any muscle mass on. I wasn't getting stronger. I was basically lifting the same amount of weights and not able to, you know, raise the, you know, the max weight on what I was doing. And ever since then, I've steadily gone up. So mm-hmm. There is a lot to be said for what you said about eating more protein to help with muscle creation.
Yeah, that's great. And it's so true. It's getting adequate protein, and then the other component around it is making sure that it's enough and that we're really not getting hungry. And yeah, these are all really important components. So, and actually I should mention for clients, or I'm sorry, not clients, but people that are listening. So it's a very different percentage of body fat for men and for women. So the numbers that Mark is mentioning, that would be healthy for a man, but for a woman, that would actually be too low. So just to say that there's differences. So it's time for us to take a quick break and stay tuned. When we return, we'll share some more surprising changes that can make produce real and lasting results. And as always, please feel free to call in with any questions at any time throughout the show. We'd love to hear your own stories or tips. And our call-in number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. And when we come back, we're going to talk about fat, because I know probably many of you are thinking, she talked about heavy whipping cream. Mark brought up heavy whipping cream and we haven't addressed it. So that'll be coming up next. Stay tuned.
Passionate Nutrition offers a whole food and whole person approach to your health and wellness. Whether you're struggling with extra weight, low energy, or just want to feel your absolute best, Jennifer Adler and her Passionate Nutrition team are trained to help you every step of the way, from cooking to nutrition counseling. Located in 6 locations throughout the greater Seattle area, Passionate Nutrition has an office that's close to you. Visit PassionateNutrition.com to learn more about the nutrition services they provide, or give them a call at 206-595-0376.
Hi, I'm Susan Jacoby, your host with Conversations That Heal. Conversations That Heal is a show that opens conversations to give hope and heal our hearts. I am a motivational speaker, an author, and an advocate for survivors of childhood trauma. For more about me and Conversations That Heal, please visit our website, conversationsthatheal.com. And tune in every Tuesday at noon on Alternative Talk 1150 for Conversations That Heal.
Hi, I'm Pat Pauley, and I hope you listen to my brand new radio show, Get Active, at 12:30 in the afternoon each Tuesday for ideas on how you can stay fit and active and connected to our community. Each week, we'll have a guest who knows in depth about some activity you may be interested in. We'll cover everything from working out, sports, sailing, skiing, to bridge, dancing, volunteering, you name it. Again, it's Get Active at 12:30 in the afternoon each Tuesday, right here at Alternative Talk 1150.
Tell your friends, the place to be is Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Mark, one of Passionate Nutrition's clients for the past 2 years, who's lost more than 60 pounds and has successfully kept it off. And one of the things that Mark and I have brought up a few times that you're probably wondering about is fat. You know, now automatically when we say that word fat, we have bad feelings in our culture, you know, because we have this concept that if we eat fat, we're going to get fat. And this is a really big misconception. And in fact, when we look around the globe, we look at different cultures and the way that they eat. There's a lot of research around this too. Even Harvard has come out with statements that it's not the amount of fat that we're having in the diet, but it's the quality of the fat that leads to disease states and even weight. And, you know, we hear about different cultures. Like, for example, the Japanese. You know, the Japanese are the longest lived culture right now. And there's this perception that it's a low-fat diet. It's actually not. It's a higher-fat diet, but the fat tends to come more from fish sources. Whereas, you know, the Swiss, they're actually a close runner-up. I mean, the Swiss have great longevity as well. And when we think of a Swiss diet, you know, there tends to be a lot of dairy. There's a lot of chocolate. You know, there's just a much higher-fat diet. And in fact, I went to Switzerland. My closest friend was doing her postdoc there. And I never thought I would say that I was tired of cheese and chocolate, and I got tired of cheese and chocolate while I was in Switzerland. So, but the difference is very much so the quality of the fat in which people are consuming. And fat has the ability, so fat signals our brain to let us know that we're satisfied. So if we have a meal that doesn't have very much fat in it, that's kind of when we're grazing the cupboards, you know, we're not quite satisfied, and we tend to eat more. Whereas if we have something that has a higher amount of fat, we can oftentimes be more satisfied, and we don't feel that same hunger, and it can just last us longer throughout the day. So the equation that eating fat makes us get fat is just, there's really a strong misconception with this. And if we don't eat this fat, we do just tend to graze. And actually, farmers know this really well. So, for example, pig farmers, one of the things that they'll commonly do is, you know, before a pig gets weighed, because they want that pig to weigh as much as possible, you know, because they get paid by the pound. So a common thing that happens is that pig farmers will feed their pigs nothing but non-fat milk for days before they go and get weighed. Because what happens is the pig eats that non-fat milk, it's not satisfied, and it eats and eats and eats and gains a bunch of weight. So the big thing is it's all about the quality of the fat. You know, what have people been eating throughout history? You know, people have eaten things, they've eaten olive oil, they've eaten butter, they've eaten dairy fat, you know, sesame oil, coconut oil, and even lard. Now, I'm sure a lot of you just had a small heart palpitation after you heard me say lard. Yes, I am a nutritionist. I have a master's degree in nutrition. I did say lard. But the difference is this is not the hydrogenated, highly processed lard that we tend to find on most shelves. This is lard that our grandmother or our great-grandmother would have made. Like, meaning if you make bacon, you know, the drippings that are left over, that's lard. Or if you go to the farmer's market and you get leaf lard and you render it yourself, I mean, this is like gold. You know, like what Mark was talking about, if you have really high quality sources, like he's getting bacon that doesn't have nitrates and nitrites, you know, from pigs that are consciously raised. I mean, that lard, back to when I used to teach food science, one of the things that was interesting to me is just how stable lard is. You know, it's actually a great fat to use. So having things, fats that are more stable and that have a longer history to them, can help us feel satisfied, you know, help us get more balance, you know, because a lot of times we might focus solely on olive oil, for example. That's a popular one. And even though I love a really good olive oil, you know, if we're just focusing on vegetable oil, you know, all of our cells in our body, the cell membrane is made up of fat. So we don't want to have just one type of fat. Like, for example, to simplify this, you know, if you just had vegetable oil, our cells would be really squishy. You know, they wouldn't have their integrity. It wouldn't be able to absorb nutrients and get rid of waste products as well. So you don't just want to have vegetable oil or else we have too squishy of cells. You know, so you have this balance. And on the other end, if all we had was saturated fat, butter, coconut oil, you know, our cell membranes would be too hard. They would be too rigid. So it's like you want this blend. You know, you want some of the vegetable oil, like in olive oil, you want some of the butter. This helps create a cell membrane that has the desired integrity, but it's also not too rigid. So it's about getting really nice balance. And clients a lot of times they say, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. I'm eating so much more fat than I ever have. I didn't gain any weight. I feel really satiated. And they're coming in for weight loss. And a lot of times it's wonderful because they were typically referred by somebody that had a lot of success. Or else when they came in and we said, well, actually, it looks like your fat intake is too low. I mean, a lot of times they would run out the door. But because we have a good reputation, they were referred by somebody, then they take that leap of faith. And it goes against everything they think is true. And it can be really successful. And they can realize how much better they feel and how much less preoccupied with food they are. And another thing is when we're having more fat, I mean, and for everybody, I'm making a lot of generalizations because it's the radio. Everybody's different as far as what they need. But a lot of times hair and skin can look a lot better too. And eating fat, I think, is one of those things that can really help us maintain a youthful look. And I know I've said this to Mark before, but people would never guess my age. And I think a big part of that is actually the amount of fat that I have in my diet, which once again, it's very different for everyone and what they need. So, Mark, it sounds like it was surprising for you to really increase the amount of fat that you were having.
Yes, I was knocked over pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, I know that you've mentioned about the protein. Do you also think that the fat has helped at all with your satiety levels?
Yeah, I thought that the lack of carbs would cause me to be hungrier, but it really hasn't. I'm more satiated now than I was before. Like, if I was eating what I used to eat, I'd get hungry within less than 2 hours. Like, I'd get hungry an hour later if I was eating, like, an English muffin or something like that for breakfast, with no fat on it or anything, or no fat included.
Mm-hmm.
So I found myself getting hungry very quickly after that. And I find myself getting full faster, too, by the increase in fat. Like, what I explained probably didn't sound like a lot of food, but when you spread it out over 7 times a day, it kind of does equate to eating 3 big meals, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not eating, like, a full anything at any point during the day. I mean, my breakfast is probably the biggest amount of, or the largest, you know, quantity that I'm eating all day, aside from the salad at night. But everything else in between is relatively small.
But it sounds like you're also feeling satisfied from it. Like, it's smaller, but you're not getting hungry or feeling like you're deprived.
And there are times where I wake up in the middle of the night hungry. And that's, you know, there's this old thing with, you know, people having to have a midnight snack. It's because they didn't have enough during the day or for dinner, and they wake up in the middle of the night out of hunger. And I've had that happen to me before. Doesn't happen nearly as often now. So I noticed the change there, too.
And so when you've woken up in the night and you've been hungry, have you gotten up and ate something?
Yeah.
Excellent. I'm so glad. You know, because there's so many rules out there that people hear that, oh, no, I can't eat after a certain time. And I know I have a lot of clients that previously would have woken up and not eaten out of fear that, oh, no, I can't eat at night. It's going to cause weight gain. But actually, I'm so glad you did, because that helps to keep your metabolism up and your blood sugar steady.
Right.
And it's interesting.
I can't go back to sleep sometimes if I don't eat. Like, my stomach will be growling and I just can't sleep. Like, it's not the same, but kind of like your sugar crashes and you get jittery and.
Right.
It kind of spikes and you're just, you know, you're shaking and everything. So, I've had times where I just had to get up, eat some cold cuts, a piece of cheese, and I was fine. I went back to bed.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I'm not that it happened. It's not wonderful that you were woken up, but I'm glad that you got up and you ate something. It's so true. And I know it was a lot of years ago. I mean, probably about 12 years ago, for some reason, I was working with a lot of bodybuilders. And not that I have a special interest in bodybuilders. I think one person came in and then they referred a friend. And one of the things that they ended up doing, they had to have a really low percentage of body fat, which, by the way, I don't think it was healthy at all. And I think I would have very different recommendations now than I did at that time. But one of the things they would do is they would set their alarm so they would wake up every 3 hours, including even when they were sleeping. They would wake up and eat and then go back to sleep to help to keep their metabolism really strong. So not that I'm advocating that, but I think it's interesting to see how sometimes eating more is actually more beneficial to our goals. And another thing, going back to the whole idea of fat, I know I mentioned that it's one of the things that can help us be satiated and also look younger. I mean, it is one of those things that can be a strong, I think, a beauty food, in the sense, especially if we're getting high quality fat, getting things like fish oil, cold water fish, having more higher fat cold water fish can be great as far as skin goes in particular. So, Mark, thank you so much for joining me today, and thank you for sharing your story and also your tips. It's really been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you for all your guidance, and thank you for using my example. It's very flattering.
Oh, great. And for those of you listening, please join us next week for Passionate Nutrition Radio. And we'll be talking about simple and delicious ways to boost your metabolism. And Mackenzie, one of our fabulous nutritionists, is going to be joining me. And she's excited to share some of her best metabolism-boosting secrets. And to learn more about Passionate Nutrition, please visit us at passionatenutrition.com or give us a call at 206-595-0376. And I just want to mention once again that we've been talking with Mark today, and his story and what's been successful for him is specific to him. You know, it's not that each person that we met with, we would put on a low-carb diet. It's very, very individual. This has been really successful for Mark, though. But as far as the ideas of having more nutrient-dense vegetables, strong protein, having adequate fat in the diet, thinking about what people have eaten throughout history, you know, those are things that can be generalized to the listeners out there. So thank you so much for listening, and have a great week.
I'm gonna chop down my vegetables. I love you.